numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Happy 4th of July. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Independence Day, Kelly. You remember it. July 4th, 1776.
Are there some pitchers we can compare Shohei Ohtani stats to from back then? Not quite yet.
It predates baseball.
Oh, okay.
Predates baseball. What does that make the good old USA? 247 years old? Yeah.
Look at you bragging.
240. No, I'm just saying.
Happy birthday, America.
Bruh.
Love it.
Some of us of a certain age, we remember the bicentennial. It was a big deal back in the day. It's a big deal. I remember it vaguely. The most vague memories. But still. Here we are. You got your bunting ready? I thought you were going to have your bunting spilled over your glass over there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't know what
bunting is. Got a cool hat and stuff, too.
Kelly doesn't know what bunting is, I guess.
I know what it is.
Oh, you do? Oh,
okay. It's that stuff that drapes down, right?
Yeah, a little.
Thanks. From a rafter.
Yeah, pretty much a rafter or a section of a baseball stadium. Yeah, all right. Okay, today on the show, because it is July 4th, Kelly has put together a banger, including hot dog eating contests. We doing that? We doing that. Let's
say
do it.
What?
Joey Chestnut. The rain ought to continue. But to what extent? Are there bets? What happened to Kobayashi? We'll talk about that as well. A little hot dog eating history, shall we? Get Matt Stoney in there. We'll talk a little hot dog eating later on the show. It's big baseball day today. All day baseball. We have our first baseball game in an hour. And we'll talk to Mark Borchardt about all the day games today and the entire slate of baseball. Plus, all of his thoughts. I know we just did a Q2 Major League Baseball podcast at Beating the Book, but we'll get all his thoughts again right now. What are his favorite division bets? Yes, no to make the playoffs. Cy Young, AL, and NL. Everybody getting injured, it seems, or being put on the IL day after day, whether it's a Rookie of the Year market, you know, monitoring injuries, or now Clayton Kershaw goes on the IL. It is convenient, though, with the All-Star break, so you don't know how legit it is because they're like, oh, well, we can put him on the IL now, and it'll be, you know, time where baseball is not actually played. Mike Trout got hurt last night in just a completely normal swing in the eighth inning against the Padres.
I was going to ask you about that one because do we think that has – let's do the freak out thing. Do we think that has anything now he gets injured? Shohei maybe back on the trading block.
I do not every you know obviously people are going to talk about will Shohei go or will he stay. I never believed and still don't that he will go.
Me either.
Because he the main thing about the only other team that I feel like he might possibly consider is the Seattle Mariners with the Ichiro history. And again, it fits the bill for him. His North Star seems to be he does not want to be in a major American market. He does not want to be in New York or L.A. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a dollar figure that makes him completely change his mind on that. But he just strikes me as someone who's very content where he is.
And from a team perspective, like, are you really going to possibly trade the greatest player of all time?
No.
Like, he might end up being that. You can't do that.
Hell no. Can't do it. We'll look at the Dame Lillard and James Harden next team markets, which I think I might have a bet suggestion on the Dame Lillard one, to be quite honest with you. We start with Wimbledon, though, which has literally been, you know, put a damper on by rain. And this is the tough part about Wimbledon. So only center court Wimbledon and court number one have, you know, the ability to be played here in the rain with cover. By the way, there's also no lights installed beyond because, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but the people of the good little village there, first of all, everything shuts down at 9:30. And
there's like a village ordinance or something?
There's a curfew on the Wimbledon championships. Practice because the inhabitants of London do not want late-night tennis action since the hooting and noise created by the audience during the match would disturb the neighborhood at night. So what you have right now is a combination of, you know, and usually with a slam, I like to get like a day ahead in handicapping because there's 128 player field, both men's and ladies. So that's 64 matches day one, 64 matches day two. So Saturday I was doing Mondays, Sundays I was doing Tuesdays, right? I was all ahead of the game. We've essentially screeched to a halt here. Carlos Alcaraz was on center court, so he just won. Elena Rybakina is on court number one. She's in a dogfight with Shelby Rogers right now. I think it's going into a third set. But those are the only two matches that were being played right now. Everybody else is suspended if it had started or hasn't begun. So I have a match going back to yesterday's seven picks. 3-1 is the current record from yesterday. 3-1. Two matches suspended in the middle. One, or not in the middle, but certainly midway, or during the match, I should say. Quentin Halas is up 2-0. So hopefully we get a fourth win with that. He would have to gack that entirely not to. The other one, and the big one, was, oh man, we had at north of $3. We have Yannick Hanfman going up against Taylor Fritz. Yannick Hanfman was up 2-1 and had a moment where he had three break points in set number four against Taylor Fritz. It was love 40 on Fritz's racket, and in a blink, Fritz got back to even and then won that game. So it's in a fifth set, and it's on serve, but that is halted in the middle as well. But that would be a huge win for us to the ledger. And then we still have a match from yesterday, the Lloyd Harris play, which has not started yet, still. Then we have, and we'll throw these up on the screen, I had four picks today, three of which have not started. Celine Nafe is the one that has started. She's down a set. That was the one big dog today, plus 197. She's going up against Potapova. So that one has not started well for us, but because we're down a set there. But it's on serve in the second, I think, 3-3. But everything right now, anyway, has stopped. And if you look at the forecast, there is a little window in the middle of the day where there isn't, you know, where precipitation is not expected. But otherwise, it's nothing but rain. And so even handicapping beyond tomorrow is a sort of stunted activity. The ones that have been put together based on yesterday's finishes, I have actually looked at. So I've, you know, currently winnowed it down to a group, but you can't handicap the whole day. So the other three, by the way, today, we'll flash those back up. The other three that we have not played. So it's the ones that haven't started. Lloyd Harris from yesterday. Lloyd Harris is a play. He's going up against, is it Moutet? Who's he playing again? I always forget the opponent. So Lloyd Harris from yesterday. Then today it's Maxime Cressy. Maxime Cressy is the American who's a serve specialist, has seen better days, by the way. He's not in his peak form. Not in his peak form, but Maxime Cressy going up against Laszlo Dzsér, that should be an interesting serving contest, but I think Cressy wins that in the end. He's minus 136 is where I got him.
I found Lloyd.
Yeah?
He's going up against Grégoire Barrère.
Grégoire Barrère. I knew it was a French player. Sorry.
Did I get it right?
Grégoire Barrère.
Grégoire
Barrère. Grégoire Barrère. Something like that, yes. Right?
That will be at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope.
So Lloyd Harris, Maxime Cressy. Those are the ones on the men's side that haven't started yet. And then on the ladies' side, Tatiana Maria. I got her as a short dog against Sorana Cirstea. I think wrong lady favored. By the way, we got the win on the wrong lady favored yesterday with Siniakova. And then the other one is that Yanina Wickmeyer. And again, I do all of these based on data. And then, you know, you sort of dig in past that into, okay, what's the current form sort of thing. I got Yanina Wickmeyer going up against Anna Blinkova. Yanina Wickmeyer's grass numbers are just spectacular in the data that we have of her. So the ones today, again, seven matches in the first day, only four here on day two, it was not nearly as robust of a card. Like, these were sort of like, oh, these are the obvious choices ones.
I'm seeing that Hanfman one doesn't look like it's done yet.
No, it's not. That's correct.
Oh, okay. You're down 3-2 in the fifth.
Yeah, we're on serve in the fifth set. On serve. So Hanfman could still do it, even though he had a spectacular chance in set number four. He could still do it for us. But here's the thing about having these suspensions. It's sort of like, I don't know, for those who have bet baseball for a long time, many of us who have bet baseball for many, many years have and I don't think it's a superstition, I think it's like corroborated. Whenever, you know, you're handicapped, if you're good at what you're handicapping, and then rain comes in, like I can remember having huge plays on a baseball game, and then rain will come in the second or third inning, the game will get stopped, and then your starting pitchers back in the day would just get scrapped, and all of a sudden you have a big bet on something that you didn't think you were betting on in the first place. So suspended play, if you're good at something, usually comes back to haunt you. And in tennis, you know, I'm thinking, Do these stoppages of play help us? Well, in the case of Hanfman, probably not, because Taylor Fritz now gets one more day of rest. He gets to regroup. Maybe he was hurt. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's not at top form. Hanfman now has to think about it. Now, he can still do it, but I don't know that it's necessarily a positive that it stopped. And then the other one, I mean, Halas was just rolling in his match, right? He's up two sets again to Love in his match. Halas taking on, and I always got, there's so many matches, taking on, oh yeah, Daniel Evans, the Brit, as we talked about yesterday. So hopefully that doesn't stop his momentum in that. And then the other one, Lloyd Harris, is that a good thing? Probably for Lloyd Harris it is, because he gets an extra day of rest. He's been playing a lot. So you read into those kind of things, you're like, and then ultimately your brain plays tricks on you, right? Because you're like, well, if we end up losing those two that are suspended or any one of them, you're like, ah, we got hurt by the, you know, it's right. A confirmation bias to it.
It's in your head, yeah.
And again, the only match going on right now, Elena Rybakina has come back from one set down against Shelby Rogers to take the second set, and she's up a break in set number three. The defending champion, Elena Rybakina, who's been dealing with a virus since the French Open.
Oof.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the Wimbledon story. It's like, okay, so we have four matches that haven't started. I can't tell you if they're going to be played today, and I can't tell you if the ones that have already started are going to finish, and I can't tell you if the ones that haven't been played are going to be played to their full
result. They're all action, though, right?
They're all action.
Yeah, okay. As soon as you make that bet, it doesn't matter when they play, as long as they play.
Darkness does not take it off the board. Suspension does not take it off the board. Withdrawals take it off, you know, then you have to go to the grading of each sports book. Do you need one set complete? Did you need the whole match complete? But suspensions due to darkness, those are all action, universally.
And then from your handicapping, it screws it up because you're looking to bet openers for pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So then you got to wait.
Well, it's great for the first round, but yeah, for the second round, we're not going to get ahead of much, right? So that's where we are, Wimbledon-wise. We'll come back. Damian Lillard. And of course, James Harden. Where will they end up next? Will they end up somewhere different? You can bet on it. We'll talk about it next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Happy 4th of July.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Kelly, I don't know if I was Instagramming or TikToking or whatever the hell I was doing yesterday, just flipping through videos.
You were TikToking?
I don't know. You know, someone sends me a TikTok thing. I don't actively go to TikTok, right?
That same thing happens to me. But somebody will send me one, and I'm like, where'd I go? What happened?
And then the next 30 minutes of my life are toast. Paul Rudd does something I was doing. You know how I was talking about 2 weeks ago when you were here about the whole, you know, male and genders associated with numbers that I have?
Oh, yeah, yep. I was thinking about you last night when I saw something.
Really?
Yeah. I saw something in a movie about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like about some guy seeing prime numbers as a certain color. I was like, oh, Gil Alexander, basically.
So the Paul Rudd does this thing that I've done for my entire life, too. I had no idea that he did it. I can remember a phone number for 4 or 5 decades because I use mnemonic tactics and associate them with old Washington football team jersey numbers. He does it with Pittsburgh Steelers, 1979 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Did not know.
Do you do that at all?
No.
Okay.
I mean, yes, but not relating to one specific thing like that.
Oh,
I might remember a number because it means something to me, like, you know, for a different reason.
Rattle off a 7-number phone number for me right now. Go ahead. Quick. Parlor trick.
307-5923.
Mark Mosley, Joe Theismann, Brad Dusek, Tony Peters.
Nice.
That's how you do it. Then I'll remember that forever. That sequence, right? And I'll be like, oh, there's the phone number. Parlor tricks, ladies and gentlemen. And it always interesting what era of skin you like come up with in your head.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Where's Lavernius Coles at?
He's not part of the rotation. What do you do on 4th of July? Do you have a special 4th of July tradition? Do you go see fireworks? Do you go to movies?
Well,
what do you do?
I'm always open to any barbecue invites. You know what I mean? I'm not a man to turn down a burger and a beer. I'm not that kind of guy, Gil. However, you caught during the break, I just realized clearly we didn't work on New Year's or something because we were just having the conversation of fireworks in Vegas, and Sean, our great audio op, was asking you about watching him on top of your building because he's going to come over tonight and hang out with
you. Apparently
him.
So.
Yeah. But hey, I didn't realize how dang late they go. I got to get my sleep, Gil. We got an early show to do here tomorrow morning.
Welcome to the mornings, Kelly.
Shut it down, La Vegas. Come on. You got to take it easy tonight, man.
What time do you normally go to bed?
It depends. But I mean, like, I enjoy if the NBA is over, like, trying to get to bed around 9:30 our time.
Speaking of the NBA, I don't know if you know this, the Damian Lillard character, but he is
He's up to no good.
What's that?
He's up to no good.
He's requested a trade. Finally, he's decided I'll be the bad guy. Get me out of here. Now, the reports from someone like Shams is he wants to go to Miami and that's it. Other people have speculated, maybe he wants to go to San Antonio or something like that. Dame to go to the Heat is minus 300. Celtics are plus 550. Staying with the Blazers is 7-1. These are all available at DraftKings. Clip Show, 8-1. And then everybody else starting with the Sixers is in double digits, including the Nets, Spurs, Jazz, Cavs, and Bucks. By the way, if you do the old ESPN trade machine, the Jazz actually might be the best offer that they could give the Blazers. Now, Dame obviously does not want to go there. He said, just Miami. So the question becomes, is there a bet? And from my standpoint, the Heat at minus 300 would not be something. If we could bet on such a thing, right, if we were in a DraftKings jurisdiction, we were not DraftKings employees, would I bet on the Heat? And the answer is no. I would not lay $3 on such a thing. I actually think, and would I bet this market at all? Probably not, but the but would be, and I don't want to say if you made me make a bet, because I want to say 100% I wouldn't bet this, but I think I would bet the Blazers at 7-1. And the reason is because if it's true that that's the only place, Miami is the only place he wants to go, and the Blazers just can't figure out a way to get a third team to make this worth their while, which is very possible, I could see them just mentally checking, you know, toggling back to, you know, Dame, I don't know if we can really do this. We're trying. We really are trying to help you out. And I could see Damian Lillard toggling back to, all right, yeah, I guess you can. I'll just stay here. Sorry that I asked for a trade. I kind of screwed that up by saying it out loud. I was hoping you could make it. But if you can't make it to Miami, Dame, we could make it to this team. We could make it to this team. He'd be like, nah, just let me stay here. I do think that is a potential scenario. So at 7-1, I might bet that.
I'm with you that, look, that number's come down too. I think that was 10-1 when I was looking at these yesterday on that Blazers number. I think it's a possibility. The other reason I'll throw out there is that, like, from the Blazers side, I think you might even be giving them too much credit how much they're willing to work with Dame. Like, I think there's, look, we'll try the Heat, but, like, at the end of the day, we got to do what's in the best interest for us. And I think, back to your point about making that bet, though, I think there's a real possibility that they start going down this road of talking about trades. If they don't see one they like, it is very easy for them to say, okay, well, Dame, you're going to start the season with us. Let's see how desperate someone gets near the trade deadline. You got to remember, these bets, if you're making this bet, is where does he play his first minute of next season?
Is that in the fine print?
Yeah, so that is, you know, you could bet the Blazers, because if he plays the first, you know, 20 games with the Blazers, this is a cash.
That adds to mine.
So I think this is really interesting right now. I know Woj was reporting yesterday that, you know, basically Blazers aren't in any rush. They're going to, now that they've opened up kind of Pandora's box of, we're going to go down this trade route, it's, hey, we're going to talk to everybody, we're going to get their best offers, and we'll go from there.
And I also stand by what I said yesterday, which is, I am so done with the offseason. Oh, if this team gets this player and these three guys get to play together, my God, are they going to be unstoppable? It rarely works out. It rarely works out in the NBA. And if the Heat are, you know, if the Heat do acquire Damian Lillard, but have to give up in the process to whatever teams, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, already Gabe Vincent is gone, who knows who else is gone. Like, I just wonder, are you better? Are you better than you were? I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not, though.
There's a lot of these I can poke holes in, right? So, like, we had, I think Bobby Marks was on ESPN yesterday, and he was putting together the whole three-way trade between the Nets, Heat,
he said Utah was the, which could give Portland the best
package.
And
he brought up Utah, too. Okay, here's my question real quick on Utah. You could get Damian Lillard, right? Are you still a good enough team to really compete in the West? Now, it'd be really cool to get Damian Lillard, and you could sit there, and if you're Danny Ainge, and be like, look at all these pieces that we turned Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert into. And that's very true. You would have Damian Lillard, a great group of young players, and still a bunch of draft assets. But whoop-de-doo, what does that get you in the next couple years with Damian Lillard?
Whoop-de-doo.
You're not winning the NBA Finals still, so I don't really get that. I would continue with the youth movement. If you're the Nets, the way they're talking about with this three-team deal, it's like the Nets would be giving up multiple first-round picks to just acquire Tyler Hero, which I don't understand why they would ever do that. So that one I don't get. What was the other? The Clippers are on that list. I don't get that one when they're the short shot for James Harden to go there right now. I really don't think Dame ends up there. So all I'm saying is I think there's a lot of possibilities beyond the just the short shots in this market. Do I think there's still a good chance Miami ends up with him? Yes, I do, Gil, because I think Portland will try to treat Dame right, and Miami and Pat Riley will do everything they can to figure out a third team, fourth team, whatever, to make it work. But, man, I think this is way more wide open than people are making it act.
Well, literally just back to the 7-1 on the Blazers, and I'm staying with the Blazers for game one of the season. Let's say they work out a deal with Utah. Let's just take the Bobby Marks scenario. They work out a deal with Utah. They come to Dame, and they're like, hey, Dame, we got this great deal, but it's to Utah. And what if Dame at that point says, please don't do that. Just let me stay here. Let's just work it out then. You don't think they would back off?
So I think there's a possibility, but don't you think once teams start going down that road, I think they'd be too excited about the trade they could pull off.
I do, until they stare Dame in the face and they're like, well, it is this guy that has upheld this franchise for however long he has.
And in that situation, too, you're talking about trading him to a Western Conference opponent. You really excited about that?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm with you there.
A team that could absolutely displace you from a postseason.
The other thing I'll bring up quickly, because it's the like you said, Jazz are one of the teams that are the easiest because it's easy between two teams to make it work. The Sixers and the Celtics could make this work if they wanted to. The only question is do they really want to? Sixers, it would involve moving around James Harden probably, and we can look at those odds here too. I'm a big fan of Tatum and Brown together, but if the Celtics start a package with Jaylen Brown, they can get this done. So I think it would be fair if you're sitting there as the Celtics thinking, we've got to the NBA Finals 2 years ago, got to the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. Does Dame push us over that edge? And I think he does. I think it would be more fair. I've come around on the Boston Celtics going after Dame.
But if you polled like the average Celtics fan and you said to them, I go, hey, did you anticipate that, you know, if you take Marcus Smart as one of your big three, in quotes, did you anticipate that two of the three guys would be gone by the beginning of next season? I think 90% would be like, wait, what? What are you doing? Why are you changing this up so much? JBT will join us. He'll talk about Harden and Dame and other NBA matters. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've just released our NFL Betting Guide. Our NFL Betting Guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. Get your newly released NFL Betting Guide or take advantage of our summer kickoff special to get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Will Hill chiming in. He thinks OKC could be a sleeper spot for Dame.
Don't say it, Will. Don't say it. Gil, if there was win totals posted right now, it would take me watching like an entire one more quarter of the Oklahoma City Thunder before I put in an over bet, probably. In the summer league, I'm talking.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I was watching Chet last night. I'm like, oh, he's beautiful. He's just beautiful. Can't wait to see him and Wemby out there.
We get tweets. I just want to read one. First of all, Marcus Phillips from España. Marcus Phillips 2.0. Happy 4th of July to my dear favorite Americans. He sent that in to Chrissy, to Todd Wishnev, to Dr. Bob, and I. Happy 4th to you, Marcus. I know you don't celebrate, but happy 4th. Rick Ollier, this is what I want to get to. Happy Tuesday for him. I want to bring JBT in for this because this is from Rick Ollier. He says, and you and I were going to talk about this anyway. Happy 4th, fellas. Curious, but are you going to be hitting up the hot dog cart after the show for your own contest against each other? And if so, will Kelly be washing down the, What does it say? The glizzies with a nice glass of eggnog.
Oh, God, that sounds disgusting.
Hashtag less ride. Well, let's take out the eggnog part of it, and let's bring in JVT, our senior NBA analyst, who we will talk about, you know, Dame Lillard, James Harden, and the rest of this offseason thus far. JVT joins us, first of all, on a morning of 4th of July, which is always an imposition, so thank you in advance, JVT. Let me just say that up front.
Ah, no worries. I got to work later today. I'll be on filling in for Patrick on Sharp Money. So it's a work day.
Okay. So the question just posed by Rick Olier is an interesting one. You actually have some experience with this, don't you? In the early days of VSiN, didn't someone challenge you to something and you actually participated in something? Explain.
Yeah, so I have, and I used to have it right here. I don't have it anymore, but the poster of me, it was Jimmy Vaquero who challenged me to eat 7 hot dogs in 11 minutes. It was for charity. And the issue, so I ask this to competitive eaters when I get the chance, because this is what I ran into. It was actually not consuming 7 hot dogs. Like, I had enough space. By the time I got to the 5th one, the repetitive taste, something mentally broke, and I couldn't do it. It's not that the hot dogs were gross or bad. It was the taste of the hot dog by the 5th one. I could not handle it anymore. And that's the thing that killed me. It wasn't the capacity. It was the taste, surprisingly enough. I did not think that there was going to be a thing.
How many did you end up consuming?
If I remember correctly, it was like 4.5 or 5. And how I got up to that point.
What was the challenge? How many did you have to get up to?
I had to get 7 down in 11 minutes.
That's just good. That's good booking right there. Like, that's a perfect number.
I was there. It was right out behind us here in this. Yep. And I was flanked to the right. I was with my girl.
Wasn't Greg involved? Peterson?
Oh, I don't know.
No, that was a year later.
That was a year later. Okay. Yeah, that was an in-studio incident. That ended things, if you will, here at the Sound
Point. I believe the quote for management is they'd rather see a live alligator in the studio than ever do one of these again.
Ever do one of those again. But I remember saying to my girl, as I was watching JVT, I said, because there was a moment where I said, JVT, I'm like, look at his eyes. He's done. Right? Like, I could see the moment where you were just like, I cannot do this anymore. So when people say, how many do you think you can have? Someone else did. And by the way, the hot dog eating contest, which we'll talk about later with Joey Chestnut, if there's bets today, how many hot dogs with buns can you eat in a 10-minute span? And the record, the all-time record is Chestnut at 76, which is just insanity. How many could you or I do, or JVT? JVT just told you what happened with him. I guarantee you I couldn't do more than 3.5. Max.
I think his number was, like, if I was challenged by Jimmy on that, I'd be I was going to say I think I could do 6 and 10. If I was really hungry, I think I could do 6 and 10 minutes.
It's impressive.
But the time would be the issue.
Right.
Like, that's right. Yeah. Like, if I was hungry enough, I could eat 6 hot dogs. Right.
Well, JVT was there. He could tell you. The taste. Ugh. Interesting.
I'm telling you, I can still mentally relive it, and the taste and the feeling that I got from that 5th one, I still feel it.
Have you eaten a hot dog since?
No, I mean, I think like twice. Like, this is not like anti-hot dog. I know on this day of all days, I should not be.
Yeah.
But like, Gil, on like at a barbecue, right? 9.8 times out of 10, I'm going hamburger. Like, hot dog was never really like the choice for me.
Me too.
So it's not like I dislike them, but they're never really at the top of the list.
He's a hot dogist, is what he is. That's what he is.
I completely agree with that, though.
Yeah. I agree.
Probably one of the better ists that you can be in this world.
It's really, really true. If you're going to be an ist, be a hot dogist. All right, Dame Lillard, we just showed the betting market. The favorite is the Heat. That's where he wants to go by all reports. The Celtics are the second short shot, but the Blazers are 7-1. Is there a bet here, in your opinion?
You know, I think there is. So looking at just specifically the odds, we talked about this in the podcast yesterday, in listening to the information that's out there, I think the 76ers have a better shot than the market is giving them credit for. I think they definitely have a better shot to get him than the Los Angeles Clippers do. I think they have more to offer than the Los Angeles Clippers. Tim Bontemps of ESPN has said that he believes the 76ers are going to end up with Damian Lillard. He's got a good feel for that team and that area of the country because that's what he covers. Windhorst said he thinks it's going to be the Heat. So every bit of indication is that it's down to those two teams. So I'm at the very least surprised that I see three teams between the 76ers and the Heat to land Damian Lillard, because it seems by all accounts those are the top two teams by every bit of information that's been out there around him. So I think at 10-1, if we're talking about, again, just the probability of a team landing him, by all accounts, everybody says that they're the second choice right now. Why would they not be the second choice on the odds board?
Is that I would bet it if I could, or is that if you made me make a bet, that's the bet I'd make?
Oh, if I would bet that if I could.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
At 10-1, that would be worth it on the Philadelphia 76ers.
What about Harden? You have a sense of that?
So I think that's going to be that the difference here is Harden opted into his contract because he needs to be cheap, right? He needs to make under $40 million so he can be a little bit more attractive for certain teams to go get him. I think it makes sense that the Clippers are the odds on favorite here. They can offer like Terrence Mann and maybe some picks, not a lot, but like, you know, something that would make that a somewhat attractive package for them to go and get James Harden. I think what's interesting here, Gil, is there's another dynamic at play, which is not just, hey, does the team have, you know, what the Clippers are going to offer there. The 76ers also have to balance, hey, look, like we have to make a package that's also going to make Joel Embiid happy, right? Because I don't think Terrence Mann and some salary filler, you know, whether it's Covington, Marcus Morris, and whatever pick it's going to be, is going to make Joel Embiid look around like, yeah, we're good. This is a contender. This is going to be great. Like, I love Terrence Mann. I've called him the fourth best Clipper of all time. But I don't think that that's going to be a package that's going to make Embiid happy. But there hasn't really been a lot of noise around this. And the more we talk about it, because here's the thing about this, and I don't know, I think you guys got this from DraftKings, because the wording of the prop is, where will he play his next regular season minute?
Yes.
And I think that that's important, because I think we could see, and there's rumblings about this picking up, another Kevin Durant scenario. Kevin Durant last summer requests a trade around this time. We talk about it the entire year. He ends up starting the year with Brooklyn, gets traded before the deadline. I think the same thing could be said for James Harden. I think there's a really good shot that he's there through training camp and ultimately starts the year on the Philadelphia 76ers because nothing really pops up for them.
Yeah, that's why I was saying Blazers for Dame is still my favorite play. I don't know that I'd bet it, yeah. But if I had to, that would be it. Who, in your opinion, let's take the offseason so far broadly, free agency period, which is obviously young but oldish at the same time. Like, what's the move that has been made that has moved the needle for you in terms of – I don't know if it's got you, I don't know if it triggered a futures bet for you, but at least has you thinking, man, when season win totals comes out, or I'm just thinking about bets now, what would that be?
Absolutely. The Cleveland Cavaliers. I love what Cleveland did. You know, when they were a team that didn't have a lot of shooting, they were a very average shooting team, 16th in frequency of attempts, 14th in 3-point shooting. They shot terribly against the New York Knicks because they didn't really have a bunch of shooters and knockdown shooters around Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. Their wing position was really thin and small. Isaac Okoro was their best wing defender. So what do? They go get Max Strus to help them play and have a knockdown defender play next to Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. They go and get George Niang from Philadelphia, who's going to be an awesome wing depth guy and of course can play power forward for them, and both of them are knockdown shooters as well. I love what they did, and while those aren't sexy, Gil, I'll bring you back to the team that just won the NBA championship. Their offseason moves, Bruce Brown, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, like these are moves that if you're filling in the right holes with the right pieces, they can make all the difference in the world. And I think Cleveland really did that. I'm really surprised that they're still as far down the Eastern Conference pecking order and just the finals order in general, because I think the top of the East is somewhat weak given how powerful these teams had been at one point. I love what Cleveland did. They're at the top of my list for sure. And if you're talking 22-1 or better, which is out there, I think that's worth a bet to win the NBA finals.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't just, hey, when their season win total comes out or yes, no playoffs thing. That's like to win it all. You're talking 22-1. If it's available.
Because I'm assuming too, that these teams, whether it be the Heat or the 76ers, while they trade for Damian Lillard, they're also going to be a lot thinner, right?
Yes.
Like they're not going to be as deep. I think that there's a lot upward mobility in this conference. And I think there's flaws with Milwaukee as well. And I think that ultimately all comes together for me to like Cleveland a lot.
I'll leave you with this because we have 45 seconds. Strangest offseason signing, in your opinion?
I mean, it's got to be Houston, right? I mean, Fred VanVleet's good, but like $42 million a year.
Yes.
It's really weird. And I know they wanted Brooke Lopez, but I don't really get it. Roll with the young core and see what you got.
There's a lot of candidates. You might be right. Like the money flying around is the thing where you're like, yes. VanVleet is getting how much? Like, what did I miss? Good player. Don't get me wrong, but wow. I mean, there's a lot of candidates, right? Kuzma. Why did the Wizards decide on this big rebuild that they're going to keep Kuzma? Like, I didn't understand that either. There's a bunch of them. Reggie Jackson getting $10 million over 2 years to stay in
Jeremy
Denver.
Grant.
Yeah, that was tons of money too. Thank you, JVT. Happy 4th of July, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. You too.
Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. At me, JVT, our senior NBA analyst. We'll come back. What about an AL MVP? Are these done already? We'll talk about it next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when you sign up, or when they sign up specifically, through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Here's how it works. Just sign in to your BetMGM account. Click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. Then, once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. That easy. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from Larry Fresh. How much Chipotle, Gil, could you eat in 10 minutes? Better question, how much sushi? What's your spot called again? Chris.
That's a great tweet for multiple reasons.
Chris Heath, please tell me someone's going to come on and talk MLB before this 8 a.m. Slate kicks off. Yes, Mark Borchardt coming up in about
14
minutes. You'll have five. We have 5 minutes to discuss the first game.
We got five. Reds and Nats.
That's right.
Reds -115, Nats -105. Total set at 10. Brett Kennedy, Patrick Corbin.
We'll find out what his thoughts are on that game and then the rest of the slate. Full day of Major League Baseball, as it should be on Independence Day. Speaking of baseball, so we'll have Borchardt talk not only about today's slate, but also about, you know, different awards markets. Cy Young specifically, where, by the way, Shohei has now dropped to the fourth short shot on the American League. That's why I was asking Spore about it yesterday, because McClanahan has the mid-back injury. I'm like, does it seem right to you that Shohei was still like in the sixth hole? Shohei now the fourth position in the American League Cy Young race. Obviously, the prohibitive favorite in the MVP, which we'll talk about momentarily, but we'll talk Cy Young with him. We'll talk divisions. We'll talk yes-no playoffs. Mark's got all kinds of thoughts. As far as MVP, so Shohei's -1400. The field is what? +850 coming back? Is that what that says? Yes, +650 coming back. And in the National League, there are these, again, these props are available. Shohei versus the field in the American League. Ronald Acuna Jr. is -350 versus the field in the National League. Every other player in the National League, +245.
I had to throw this one at you. Because, like, is this not fascinating? We're still relatively early
in the season. It's July 4th. We're basically at the halfway mark of the season.
Right. And you get a field price.
Well, the Shohei thing makes sense.
That one makes sense.
Because you're really, if you're betting the field, you're betting against the Shohei injury, you're betting against Shohei being, betting for a Shohei injury if you're betting the field, which isn't, you know, maybe look in the mirror if you're doing that. And then you're betting Shohei getting traded to the National League. Those are the only two things at this point that would seem to be able to get him. He has 31 home runs. Again, last year, everyone went, you know, ape over Aaron Judge hitting 61, and people were acting like he set the all-time Major League home run record. This just in, he did not. He finished 12 shy of the great Barry Lamar Bonds. Shohei's on pace to beat Aaron Judge. Like, he's right there. No one's saying a word.
Oh, would you like I didn't include this because it wasn't posted this morning, but I saw him tweet it out last night. It is posted now. DraftKings has a home run prop up for Shohei.
Oh, there you go.
62.5 over 11-1 under -2500.
11-1.
On over 62.5.
Ooh, that's kind of juicy.
Yeah.
Interesting. And of course, he's doing it while being, again, the fourth short shot in the Cy Young race as well in the American League. So that makes sense, because those are the only two scenarios, because no one anticipates a Shohei drop-off, you know, of any kind in terms of his batting prowess or his pitching prowess. But he'd have to, in both categories, one should say. National League is interesting, because now, again, the Ronald Acuna Jr., this market, Freddie Freeman and... Well, it depends on where you're looking. So let's look at DraftKings specifically. So Freddie Freeman is the second shot now. There are other places where it's Freddie Freeman and his teammate Mookie Betts as the short shots behind Acuna Jr. now at this point. Part of this is Corbin Carroll has the injury right now. So Corbin Carroll, who probably shouldn't have been in the two-hole in this market, by the way, he's dropped back a little to 20-1 because nobody knows really how long the injury is going to be, how serious it's going to be. Luis Arraez, who, again, I have at 80-1. His whole thing is, can he hit 400? He's now hitting 389, I believe, after last night. 389. So Arias has had a stretch of games here where he has not been hitting up to snuff. By the way, there's no shame in hitting 389, should be pointed out. But that whole MVP candidacy is about him hitting 400. Always has been, always will be. Because that's what he does. But Acuna is number two in batting average, right? He's like three. He's in the 330s now. And Acuna Jr., you know how we make such a big deal about 40-40s? Remember when Jose Canseco did it, Mickey Mantle said, well, if I knew it was going to be a big deal, I could have done it all the time. Who's got 40-40 seasons? You know, the names, Canseco, Bonds. You know, these are the guys who have done it before. So with Acuna Jr., we're not talking about 40-40. He's on pace to go 40-70, maybe even 40-80.
It's not bad.
Like, so that's what we're talking about with him. Like, there's, you know, now I even wonder, like, let's, again, if we're at the end of the season and he goes 40-80 and Arias, just play with me here, play along, Arias hits 400, man, I don't even know anymore. That was a nice 400 season.
Man,
I know it hasn't been done since 1941 in Ted Williams. I know we've talked about it for, 82 years. Sorry, buddy. That's how good of a season Acuna Jr. is having. And by the way, on a Braves team, and this is why I said it, this is why I asked Spore about this yesterday, are they leaps and bounds better than any other team? He was hesitant to say that. I think they're leaps and bounds above any team right now. They've won 24 of 27.
That 40-40 list is way shorter than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Canseco, Bonds, A-Rod, and Alfonso Soriano.
That's right. A-Rod and Alfonso Soriano famously did it. That's right. Soriano being the one of these names is not quite like the others. But yes, that's the list. Because I don't know if you know this, Kelly. That's a mix of power and speed, sir.
It's incredible. Acuna Jr. 2019, 41 and 37. 41 home runs, 37 stolen.
Bonds had another year where he did, I think, 40-plus and 37.
He had a 39 and 43 and a 37 and a 41.
Yeah. He was pretty good. I don't know if I've ever mentioned him on the show before.
Oh, that was Bobby Bonds. Never mind. I just read.
Oh, his dad
Bonds.
Did that.
Yeah. Barry was 40 and 37.
Yeah. Did Barry ever do 40-40, though? Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 96.
Barry Bonds, who was the first, I want to say, was he the first 400-400 career guy? He was definitely the first 500-500 homers and stolen bases. People forget, before Barry had the, how can I put this, power surge, if you know what I mean? He was stealing bases left and right for the Pittsburgh Pirates in the early days of the San Francisco Giants. Then he just sort of, as he approached 500, he sort of tapered off with that. But these guys they don't come along very often. And Acuna is all of these things. So would I bet it? No, I mean, look, Ronald Acuna Jr. slid into second base yesterday, and they were worried that he had hurt himself. He had grabbed his wrist or his shoulder somehow got bent, or his arm got bent on his way into second. And there was a collective silence where it's like, oh, no, here it is. So he does have a history of injuries, sadly. And so that's the one hesitation. Like when we say with Shohei, we're somehow, even though he pitches too, we're less worried about it. But with Acuna Jr., because it's such a young career and such a robust history injury, if you will, I don't know if you can bet that.
Bet him or the field?
I don't know if you can bet Acuna.
Okay, I was going to say.
I think Shohei's the only bet if you have a stomach for -1400, which is going to be, you know, very few people. But I don't think you can bet Acuna Jr. at -350. I don't think you can.
Like, I get what he's doing.
Yes.
I get it's amazing. But there are other players that you can make cases for, like you brought up with Arias. I mean, +245 at this point in the season. Like, let's put it this way. The prop at least caught my eye last night, where I'm like, wow, on July 4th, to be able to get that on the field, man, I it would be intriguing.
I mean, they're going to win the division. They're probably going to have the best record in baseball. So, if he coasts into 40-70, he's not losing it.
It does kind of feel like.
I mean, the Arias.
Let me rephrase. Can someone beat him out if he doesn't get injured?
The only thing that I see is if Arias hits 400, and then you have enough nostalgic baseball voters who would be like, I'm sorry, Ronald Acuna Jr., as great as you are, this thing happened that is so ridiculous that it hasn't happened in, again, 82 years.
But even with that, because I pressed you on this before, Marlins would have to make the playoffs.
They would still have to make the playoffs, which now they would be, but they would still have to make the playoffs. Yeah, they can't suck.
Right.
Right now, that's working out for them. But like I said, Acuna Jr. is so good that even I now am like, boy, oh boy. Like if he went 40-70 and Arias somehow hit 400, I don't know if Arias would have enough votes at this point. Like, that's how good Acuña Jr. is. And I used to say 2 years ago, I've said it on this show many times, where I would go to the sports book pre-pandemic and watch every single baseball game. He was the best player in baseball. This is 3 years ago. Every single night in there. When you'd like scan screens. He was always doing something. Amazing talent. So would I bet it? I would not. But would I be surprised if it got home? I would not either. Just not a bet. I think properly priced, if you will. We'll come back. Mark Borchardt on the entire baseball slate, including the one that starts in 10 minutes next.